We're back. That was awesome. That was an awesome, awesome presentation from our amazing community manager, Ash. There's a lot of good stuff in there. So you really think you want to be a community manager, huh? Mm-hmm. Well, right now we've got Peter Van Holst, and he is from Starfall PR, and he's going to be talking about how to sell your game with limited funds. And that's a huge, huge thing. A lot of people are like, well, I made all this game, and I've only got this little bitty marketing budget. Little bitty. Yeah, let's dive into that. Thanks, Peter. Take it away.
Awesome. Hi, everyone. Super happy to be here. My company is called Starfall PR. I'll have a bit more information about that later. I've been in the game space for about 10 years, first as a journalist, and then starting my own business, Starfall PR. And we mainly help indie games with, as the titles might suggest, limited funds. So yeah, let's dive straight into it. So yeah, today we're going over several techniques and things that you have to keep in mind during your marketing process. So basically all the way from the beginning when you're unveiling the game to the whole world until you release the game. So the sort of end of the regular marketing lifespan. This is a short overview of what we're talking about today. So the first big thing is budgets and how to manage them, where you spend your money. And then there's the three peaks of PR, and Steam Next Fest is the fourth small peak. Then we're going to talk about effective outreach, both to media and to influencers, because there's a very big difference in how you reach both of these types of people that cover games. Then there's the do's and don'ts of games marketing. And we're also going to create a small fictional game, which I'm going to give you a marketing plan for. And then I'll talk a bit more about Starfall PR, and any questions you might have, I'll be able to answer straight after. So budgets are always a very big thing, right? Like AAA games have millions of dollars, while small indie games might have $5,000 or $10,000. Some might even have $50,000. But you know, there's marketing can basically work for anyone with any budget. It's just that you, as the developer, have to make choices, right? Like there are, you can either try to make a trailer yourself, or you can have someone else do it. You can work with an agency like us, or you can do your outreach yourself. So there's always choices that you have to make that can sort of match your budget. So successful, which I put in quotation marks because success is different for everyone. The budgets normally range to about $10,000 to about $50,000. So now you might think, well, that's way too much, or that's way out of my marketing range. But that's sort of the average. If you download the deck afterwards, you can click the link that I put in there. And that's a link to sort of a breakdown of costs that you might encounter when you start your marketing campaign. So how much should you spend, right? Like how much do you think how much should you spend in general for your indie games? And there's not really a good question for that. It's really much like, okay, well, how much can I afford? Or how much trust do I put in this game that I can get the money out of it, right? So normally, what I think is a good sort of guideline is that you, for every dollar that you spend in your production of your game, you spend about 25 to 35 cents on marketing. And marketing is super broad, and we'll dive into what marketing all entails later down the line, but that's sort of your guideline. So if you have a small game that you worked on for 6 months and you've maybe spent, let's say, $10,000, or $15,000 of your own time, because that's how we measure that, then that 25% of that sort of budget, you can potentially get into put into marketing. And like I said, there are plenty of options that you can do to still have if you're under 10K, you still have a super effective campaign. It's just, you'll have to do a lot more yourself than, you know, giving it away to other people. And that doing it yourself part is something that I want to discover with you during this presentation as well. So you have a budget, right? And the next question is often, okay, well, what am I going to spend it on? So the big sort of two main marketing ideas are paid and earned. So paid is anything that you sort of get immediate return on investment on. So whether that's paying for a YouTube advertisement of your trailer, right? Like you have you use Google Ads and you have a trailer up and you can immediately see, okay, well, I'm paying this much per click and I need maybe 5 or 6 clicks to get a wish list so I can calculate my cost per wish list. That's sort of the paid side. Or you pay an influencer to cover your game. Like there's an example there of a campaign I worked on in the past with influencers. And, you know, they play for an hour and then you can see the effect on your wish list or on your sales. So that's always like, okay, I'll put money in and there's going to be an immediate return. As I said, it can get very expensive. So a Narica campaign, like a Narica Blade Point campaign, that can go like tens of, or maybe even $100,000. So it's often like the results can be quite negligible. Like a campaign like this might cost a lot of money, but the result might be only a couple of wish lists or a couple of extra players. So these sort of campaigns are often reserved for, you know, big AAA games or big publishers that have, you know, money that they can invest or see what works. However, for indie games, that's not the case, right? Like we need to spend our money effectively. So smaller indie creators that are super good for your niche, that might be valuable to work with them, right? To spend a little bit of money there. So that's the paid side. And earned is where my company, Starfall, we mainly focus in. So instead of paying someone to do a video, we simply sell the game as a great game to play, right? Like we don't want them to ask for money. And this also comes in the form of general media PR, right? Like when we write a press release and we distribute it, we never ever have to pay for a placement, whether that's IGN or, you know, a small gaming blog. We don't pay them. We provide them with news and they publish an article. But so it's very much about being very creative at your game and selling it with words or a really good trailer. And it does cost a lot more time because you're not simply buying a piece of coverage. You're selling your story. You're selling your game to them. So the roles are a little bit reversed. However, the potential upside of doing earned marketing is massive, right? Like you can get insane results. And a little example I put in here in the corner is a small game called Tower of Dreams, made by a solo developer just out of college, and he decided to work with us. He wanted to do a simple press release around his Steam Next Fest trailer, and it got picked up by IGN. And the value of having IGN, I mean, everyone knows IGN. It's just there's millions of people there, and immediately he sees his wish list shoot up. So for $500, if you put that in a paid advertising campaign, you would never see that, those kinds of results. So there is a massive potential upside. So what do I mean with potential, right? Like such an easy sort of buzzword. So the potential of paid is basically the more money you put in, the better the results. So that's often, you know, the correlation. While earned is the deviation there is a lot larger. So you put in money for a press release, right? Like you have someone write the press release and then they distribute it, or you write it yourself and they distribute it. It can either do really well and you get picked up by IGN, by GameSpot, by these really big outlets and they cover it, or it does nothing and you get maybe 3 or 4 pages of coverage and you see no increase. So potential is really about sort of maximizing your chances of success through optimizing different assets. And I know that's a lot of buzzwords, but it's just basically saying give your game the best sort of marketing opportunity by creating great assets and being fruitful in your language. So the sometimes even if we work with a small influencer or a small game, we reach out to influencers with like 100,000, 200,000 subscribers, and they suddenly love playing the game. Like, they don't even request for money, right? And a game that maybe was hovering around 200 wishlist, maybe 400 wishlist, suddenly pops up to 2,000-3,000 wishlist with a simple email, basically. Well, that's what we do, right? We just send an influencer or a YouTuber an email and say, like, hey, do you want to play this game? They come back to us, yes, please, give me a key. We send them a key, and a week later, coverage pops up, and you get 2,000 wishlists. And that's not something that you can realistically expect from a paid campaign at sort of this level. So that's what I mean with potential. So how do we maximize this potential, right? The biggest sort of asset you can have is a really, really good trailer. And there are, you know, every game is different or every trailer can be different, but I'd say spending money on a trailer is probably your main spend. Like, if you have a really good trailer, coverage can sort of come from itself. So there's a few things that you really need. It's good music, because, you know, a trailer without good music doesn't pull you in. Frame rate is important. Often when I look at small indie games, they have a great game, but since they're either running an older system or they try to do it themselves, the frame rate is choppy. So those are things that you really need to think about. And it's okay to work with a professional, someone that makes trailers for a living, right? Because it's the main thing people will look at when they see your game. Like, they're not going to first read through the stream description or first read the press release that we send them. They're going to watch the trailer. They're going to look at the Steam page and see a trailer there. The example I put in here is a game that we're currently working on, Kit Pilot. It's a small VR game where you fly a little plane around. And the trailer is extremely good, which made it picked up. It was picked up by IGN VR when we sent it out, which is a massive pickup for a very, very small game. So the next step is definitely optimizing your Steam page. So your Steam page is your selling. That's why you sell your game, right? Like, that's where people come to you know, read what the game is about. You already have to click. So someone already clicked on the capsule. But yeah, then you need it to be optimized. So, and a good way, because, you know, I can't dive into detail of what, how to optimize a Steam page, but a good way to see if your Steam game is optimized is to scroll down and look at sort of games like this, right? If your game sort of, if Steam recognizes that your game is similar than all these other games, then you're in a good space. That means you're in a good spot. So these two things are mainly there to optimize your potential. And after that, if you have done that, you can start reaching out to these sort of big, large media outlets, large influencers. Sometimes people think, hey, my game is so small, or my game's doesn't look that interesting, I would never be able to reach large influencers, or I would never get a placement on large big media outlets. But everyone in the gaming space, like, well, I think 90% of them in the gaming space, they have a soft spot for indie games. Like, there's always influencers that mainly play indie games, that make their whole channel about indie games. And the same with media outlets. Like, they're even IGN, or like, that's the biggest one, they cover indies. And people often, they sort of disregard it. They think, oh, my game has no chance if you compare it to like the latest COD, or, you know, the latest sort of Souls game. But that's not true. Like, if you do the outreach and if you reach, sort of have a cool trailer, then you're definitely have a good chance of getting covered. So it's just making that step. So value on earned placements is a lot higher than paying for it. And what I mean with this is like if you pay for advertising on IGN, you might spend $5,000, maybe $10,000, depending on the sort of advertisement. Well, we are able to get that for free. So in a way, a trailer like I showed him, or a page that I showed in my latest slide, that there's a definite increase of value for them, for them, right? Like if he paid the Tower of Dreams dev paid maybe $500, well, he gets a $5,000 placement in return. So yeah, having great potential is super important for your game, and optimizing that is definitely sort of your first step in the game's marketing space. The sort of latest or the last thing that I want to discuss, and which I'm gonna dive into deeper, is sort of effectively marking your three peaks. And this is something I made up myself, so but I mean, it makes sense. So the three peaks really refer to the three big newsworthy announcements that you will make in your game sort of leading up to the release. And the first really big announcement, so the most newsworthy announcement, is announcing your game, right? Like this is something new that you've been working on, and this is the first time that you're showing it to the world. Now, there are different ways that you can do it as an indie. Some indies, they like to sort of show people their entire dev process. So they go into, they make a YouTube channel or a Twitter account that they show like, what sort of from the beginning to the end of what they're making. However, that can pay off. Like I've seen games do really well with sort of work along a title, but the detriment of it is that you're not utilizing that game announcement peak. So, and there are different ways of doing that. I'll go more in detail on that later. The second one is your release date announcement. So most of the times you're doing this about 2 months or a month beforehand. And that's also press release worthy, right? Like if you've been working on the game for a while and you've done the announcement, the game announcement, you have fans and they all want to know when it comes out. So definitely that's also a peak in games marketing. And the last one is your out now announcement, where you try to convert all these wish lists that you've gathered during your games marketing campaign to sales. So this is often coupled with a new trailer, something that suddenly piques people's interest. So why do we call them peaks? Because they often peak in your wish list. So whenever we do a press release like this, we see a peak in wish list. So if you do it well and you cover all three peaks, it's a nice, you know, three peaks of games marketing. So coming back to what every peak needs, it's definitely a trailer. What I would recommend is that you, if you have limited funds, you work on one trailer, on a really good trailer for your game announcement. And then you recut that trailer for a release date and an out now. So you have one, let's say, 2 minute trailer. You can recut that trailer, have different sort of fragments, show over different times. So you have a new trailer that you can work with, and you just use a different sort of title card. So first you announce it, then you have a title card with the release date announcement. And later you have one that says out now, right? I'd say a press release is definitely recommended for every single one of those peaks, simply because that's the best way to reach games media and to get them interested. The third one, which sometimes costs money, sometimes is for free, game events. So I'm mostly speaking about the online events that happen all year round, where you can submit your games when there's a set audience, like maybe 1,000 people are watching, or maybe 500. And they often have free submissions. So you can submit your game and get covered. Sometimes they ask for money. Sometimes it's very expensive, but you can always try to submit a trailer, especially if it includes one of these three peaks, because that just makes it that much more interesting for an outlet to cover it. Keep in mind that a lot of these events are run by media. I know like IGN is doing an event right now, I think, or maybe a week earlier, but you have, you know, PC Gamer, the game show, this is from the PC Gamer, Future Game Show. Again, Future is a media event. So they always have this idea of newsworthiness in their trailer. So if you work around these sort of three peaks, you have a lot better chance to get in for free. Collaborations are also an option. If you work with, for example, a large influencer, if you say, hey, I've got something completely new that you definitely enjoy, and no one's known about it yet, like there's a chance for you there if you pitch them the idea. With such a, if the connection between the influencer and your game is so close, that's something. If they play games like that all the time, for example, that might be something that you'll be able to do for free, right? Like that's everything that I'm listing here are options that you can do for free. Another one is an interview. So maybe you are working either with an influencer or with the media where you want to reveal something new. And while this is typically not something that I would recommend for all three peaks, but if you want to announce a game with an interview, if you have already made games before, that's sort of a great chance to get into a very large outlet, because you have something special that you're going to show them, right? So definitely worth including. So in order to get or make use of these three peaks, you need to be able to do effective outreach. And how effective outreach is outreach with returns. Like everyone can write an email to an influencer, but not everyone can have that result into valuable coverage, right? Like if you send 1,000 influencers an email and only 5 people get back to you and they ask for money, that's not effective outreach. So your first step in making an effective campaign is creating a good target list. And often when you've been working on your game for a while, you have a good idea of, because you're often, you know, people that make games are often a fan of their own genre, right? No one's going to make a roguelite if they don't like playing roguelites. So you often have a pretty good idea of the space, but there are tools that you can use to directly find those people. And one of for media, that's Muckrack, and for influencers and creators, that for people that are active on Twitch, that's often Solino. So the questions that you need to ask yourselves, like, okay, well, I have this, there's a lot of games journalists, but they all write about different things and they all have different interests. So going around on Twitter is often, or X, but yeah, never calling it X. So on Twitter, you'll find a lot of thoughts, let's put it that way, of media. I think about every journalist I know is active on Twitter. So they'll often talk about games that they like or that they don't like, or the sort of reviews that they gave about a certain game. And that's how you start building that target list, right? Because you want to reach out to journalists that you think will enjoy your game. And that creates effective outreach. Often, sometimes they even list their email in their sort of biography. But you can also just DM them. I think Twitter is a bit different about it now, but often if you can add them, mention them even in your tweets. Journalists are super friendly. They're often, and they have many of them have a soft spot for indies. So yeah, definitely don't be afraid to reach out to them. Again, YouTube and Twitter also works for influencers. YouTube has this really nifty tool where you can check someone's contact details from within YouTube. I think that you can only do about 5 or 10 a day, but that should be your goal. You should only like make that list and think about adding 5 or 10 people a day, because the more sort of there are never 1,000 influencers that are interested in your game. There are maybe 50 or 100 that are definitely interested in your game. You just have to find them. So from a time versus cost perspective, it's never worth it to just spam 1,000 influencers or go with an agency that says, hey, we're gonna reach out to 8,000 influencers with your game, because that's not targeted outreach. That's not effective outreach. That's just sort of trying to impress you with numbers. You want to find potential fans of your games. And that takes time and that takes research. But if you do that research and you invest in the time, then you will get results. Like, I promise you, that's sort of what I've been doing all these years. If you do the research, you'll get results. So the next step is creating a pitch. And a pitch is, it's an email. And pitching press and influencers is very different. But there are guidelines for each of them. So for an influencer, if you want them to cover your game for free, you don't want to make it too salesy. So you want to be honest. You say like, hey, I'm a small dev. I've been working on this game for X years or X months. And I'm a big fan of your channel. I like how you cover this and this. You make it personal. And you say like, hey, are you interested in checking out my game? And that's how you make it genuine. You don't want to oversell your game. You don't want to make it too salesy. And you want to connect to your targets. Something that I also see a lot of developers doing, which I definitely don't recommend, is shotgunning out keys. So you don't want to include a key in your title, because that's not how you engage into an effective pitching strategy. Like, you sometimes they cover it, sometimes they don't, and you have all these keys out in the world and you've no idea what's happening with them. So I think, in my opinion, shotgunning out keys is never an effective strategy. Just engage in the conversation. Ask if they're interested before sending them a key. And then if they say, yes, I'd like a key, then you know that that key is probably going to result in coverage. So that's pitching in short. There's a lot more to it, of course, but it's a long process to learn how to pitch correctly, but these sort of five bullet points are definitely things that you want to keep in mind for your game. So following up, both creators, influencers, and media, they get a lot of emails. And I'm saying that from experience, because I started as a journalist. You get bombarded with keys, with pitches, with press releases. And quite often, the first sort of pitch you send out, you don't get a response. And that doesn't mean that the people that you reach, the person that you reach out to, is not interested. They might not have seen it, or they might just be busy and forgot about responding, right? So you're following up is super normal in the industry. You can just wait a couple of days, say like, hey, sorry, have you seen the above, or would you like a key? You just give a friendly, like, these people are not obligated to send you anything. So as long as you be nice and be respectful for your time, you can follow up with them. And that's often, like, after following up once, that's often when you get a response. So this is also where creators might ask for your budget. That's just what happens, because if they get a follow-up, that means you are really interested in working with them, and that's why they might ask you for a budget. Is paid then worth it? And that depends on a lot of factors. But it often, what it depends on the most is, okay, well, are their videos effective, right? If you look at their channel and they've done previous videos that are ad reads, are they very different from the sort of views that non-ads get? Is the
Peter, we lost your audio.
Hello.
There you go.
Yeah, no idea why it fell off. Yeah, whether it pays worth it is often a question that you have to ask yourself. So you can always follow up more than once. So if you wait a couple of days, that's absolutely fine. I'd say following up twice is about where you want to be. You don't want to spam creators, but yeah, so one or two, and then if they don't respond, then you know, then it's probably not for them. So do's and don'ts. You want to take, like, just sort of recapping what I've just went over. You want to take time with your targets. You don't want to make a 500 targets that you barely know. And you know, it's better to have 50 or 100 or 100 that you are confident about. You want to set realistic expectations. No one is obligated to cover your game. So you don't think that you're going to get YouTubers with 2-3 million subscribers. Good, you can always include them, but don't expect them to cover. Then you're doing your research into potential partners, right? Like whether you work with an agency like ours or someone that creates videos, ask around on the internet. There's a chance that other people have worked with them. There's a really active subreddit called r/gamedev, where if you ask a question, quite often people will get to you and like tell you what they thought about a certain agency or a certain partner. So definitely work together. There are massive discords full with game devs that are super happy to help you. So ask those questions. You want to spend money at key moments. Like I said, you want to look at those three peaks and spend money where it matters the most. Be extremely friendly. Be humble, be happy that you're in contact with people, but being friendly is definitely super important. So like if you come as just nagging or negative, that's where people will push you away. So yeah, always be friendly to anyone if you do outreach, and double check your writing. Typos often, they just look unprofessional. So make sure to double check your writing, check your grammar, and that's where you can be sloppy and you lose points. So don't spam your targets. If you get a no, or if after a couple of follow-ups you hear nothing back, don't keep sending out emails. That's never effective. They might look at you as annoying, which diminishes your chances to get covered by them in the future. You don't want to start too late. So sometimes we get clients that are a week from release, and they are like, hey, can you help us do PR? That's not how that works. Like, it takes a lot of time to set up an effective campaign. So you would at least start like 4 months or 5 months before your effective release. They start thinking about, okay, well, how am I going to announce this game? How am I going to plan it? Don't start too late. Overpromising is, what I mean by this is, sometimes games have amazing trailers, and they promise the same page promises all the things, and the game comes out, and it just underdelivers. And at that stage, every influencer that you send a key and every journalist, they're gonna take notice, and your game's gonna get blasted, and that's never a fun experience. Like, if you have the attention, maybe you get the sales, but you know the refunds will come rolling in your sort of image as an indie dev is ruined. So, you know, if you have a small game, be honest and display that in your trailers and in your Steam page. You also don't want to disregard the peaks. So you don't want to randomly announce a game on Twitter, in my opinion. You don't randomly want to announce a release date in a Twitter, like in a tweet or on a Discord message. You know, you want to plan out your marketing around those marketing peaks, especially if you're going the earned round. It's just the best effective way to get, you know, the most wishlist and the most attention towards your game. Also, don't give up. So sometimes when a first announcement doesn't go their way, you know, marketing, game dev sort of give up, and they don't want to do any more press releases, or they give up on the marketing aspect. And the thing about earned marketing is that success can come at any point, right? Like there is people that I've been working with for a very long time that they haven't seen any really significant post. And then just over the weekend, they get picked up by IGN and things spike out of control. So you might think if things don't explode immediately, that it's not worth your time and effort. But there, you will get lucky, because luck is also a big part. You will get lucky, so you don't give up on your marketing strategy. Maybe adjust it, maybe adjust your expectations, but don't stop doing it. So to put this all into practice, I'm giving you a sort of a small example of a strategy that I designed, which you can maybe take something away from it. But again, every game is different. Every game has different launch plans, so it might not. Some of it might be useful, some of it might be not. But I just wanted to give you an example of what I would do for a game. So the fictional game I created was a game called Moon Drifter, the race on the moon, right? Like the USP is that it's an arcade racing game, but you're racing with the moon's gravity, so cars fly all over the place. And the budget that I set is about 10K. So the first step, so the first peak, would be we would announce the game. So we would work with the developer to either get great screenshots or a great trailer. Then we start asking around, right? Like there are, like I listed here, like there's the FGS, the OT Games Expo, but there are many more where we can, if the timing's right, we can maybe ask, hey, are you interested in this trailer? At this point, we have the trailer ready, but would you be interested in showcasing this? And if one of them says yes, great. If there's no interest there, absolutely fine too. But that's just something that you would be able to link your peak to get it even, give it even more exposure. Then the press release. So Press Engine Pro is for 1 month. It costs about $400, but you know it reaches a very large audience. And I think it's the best way for indies to distribute press releases, because it's a very easy way to get in contact. You would still need someone to write your press release, or you can do that yourself. But that is definitely a very good way to reach journalists. Again, I'm not being paid by Press Engine or anything. I use it myself for our distribution, which is why I recommend it. So I'd say that's sort of your press release tactics. Then personal pitches. So once you have the press release is out, or you're planning on the press release, you can reach out to a couple of game news YouTubers, and there are quite a lot of them that just cover game news that happens every week. And it would be great to get a trailer included in sort of their weekly mock-up, right? At this stage, you also want to get your social media in order and your Discord channel to start your community you're building. And on our games, on Reddit, they have an Indie Sunday event where you, if you announce, you can do join once a month, but it's great to do that in your sort of first week when you push the game out, right? And it's free. It's free to make a post about your game. So, and it always, like for my clients, it's resulted in like 50, 200, 300 wish lists if it does well. That's the magic of Reddit. If it gets upvoted to the top, it gets really good visibility. So definitely, I would do that in your first marketing peak. Right, so then often, this is not an official peak, but it's something that I wanted to include because Steam Next Fest is such a big thing. Like Steam Next Fest can make or break a marketing campaign if you look at it from low budgets, because it is the easiest way to get the most people on your Steam Next Fest, and you're not paying anything for it, right? Steam Next Fest is free to join. But if you do it effectively, that's where your game can really explode. So the assets or the things that you need is a good demo and a reworked trailer announcing the demo. And what you want to do before Steam Next Fest is make sure that the demo is uploaded, because I think about a week or 2 weeks before Steam Next Fest starts, press get the chance to look at the game. So they get to look through different games that they like or want to try. And if you're in that stage, that makes it a lot easier to put you on the map for when their eventual Steam Next Fest coverage comes, because every almost every large media outlet has some sort of Steam Next Fest coverage about demos that they want to play. So yeah, definitely have your demo ready. Then you want to have a target list for indie YouTubers. There are on Twitter, like the last Steam Next Fest that just ended. If you only, like if you go on Twitter and you look for sort of Steam Next Fest, there are, you know, 50, maybe 100 indie creators that want to, that are looking for demos to play. And just plugging your title there, that creates a potential piece of coverage. Same with a press release. Like if you send out a press release that your demo is out, that can again result into coverage. And at that stage, you're not really looking for coverage. You're more looking to put your game on the map for any potential media that might be going to write a, that might going to is going to write a article about Steam Next Fest demos. So keep that in mind. That's, you know, having a good Steam Next Fest and preparing well for it, having that stream up and running, doing the feature streams using, you know, Robo Streamer, I think it's called, to sort of plan your streams to make sure that it's live all the time. That can make such a big difference. It can really make or break a game. The next step is the release date. So this is, again, normally around a month before release, sometimes 2 weeks. Like it really depends on how well sort of you're on track for your work. Sometimes things get delayed a little bit. But if you have a release date out, at that point you want to start using Resident Engine to distribute keys, or you want to start pitching the keys. If you have a release date, then media can start planning for it. So you, because you have an embargo, something that, okay, at this point you can post about my game, right? So you have an embargo, and then media can sort of fit you in their release schedule. So at this stage, you really want to start throwing out those pitches. So you want to reach out to influencers for scored reviews, or for media with scored reviews. Press Engine, again, is free. And it collects these, the free version of Press Engine collects key requests for free, which you can distribute there. So, you know, if you have an account there, that makes it easy. I suggest, again, I'm not being paid by Press Engine, but I suggest using Press Engine over things like Keymailer, because it's just a lot easier to use, and it's, the contacts there are better. Mentioning again, don't send out keys randomly. So don't send out 500 keys to 500 different influencers and then just hoping for coverage. That's often, you'll see some results, but it's just ineffective outreach. And yeah, you never know what happens to those keys, whether they can activate it or not. It's just a bit of a waste, really. Your embargo for reviews is something that's also important. So normally, 2 days or a day before release date, you want to set an embargo. So all your scored reviews come out on that day. Let's plays and things like that. That's maybe you can have them go out throughout the year or whenever you feel comfortable. But scored reviews should always be embargoed. And you want to do that because you don't want reviewers to rush, or you don't want the smaller outlet to rush a score while others are still working on it. You want to give reviewers time to play through the game, and you don't want them to be, you know, the fastest review out there gets the clicks, which is why an embargo is so important. So the last asset is your out now, which is you at this point you want to convert your wishlist, that all the wishlists that you have, into sales. Again, you do this with the new trailer. And at this stage, it's okay to re-engage targets, right? If you have if the game is scoring very well, you can reach out to Metacritic targets. Say like, hey, you know, I reached out before for a review, but it's scoring very positive and I'm getting, you know, a lot of reviews. Would you be interested in covering it? And with the second interaction, if you have the sort of momentum from a successful Steam release, quite a lot of these Metacritic, look, highly esteemed reviewers will want to key. They will want to check it out. So re-engaging them after pitching, definitely worth it. So this gives you a very comprehensive package of sort of a marketing plan. Again, every game is different, so every cost will be different, But yeah, here are some ideas of pricing. Press Engine, you know, would cost around 1,000. Daredrop or DropMe are easy ways to reach out to streamers, to sort of smaller streamers, cost about 1,000 each. Trailers are expensive as you can make it, but there are a ton of very, very good people on Fiverr on Upwork that are either building their career, making trailers, or they're freelancers, but there are some very good people on there. You don't have to go to a big trailer making studio and spread out tens of thousands of dollars for a trailer. Like, that's not necessary. YouTube and streamers only look at, like, make sure before you accept anything to look at their sort of past successful campaigns and look at their views. You can go on Steam database to see if there's a spike in followers of that particular game to see if it was effective or not. Like, you can't look at other people's Steam games or wish lists, but you can look at their followers, and that sort of shows you peaks of interest. So definitely do your research there. Ads are Reddit, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. YouTube has very nice incentive for where you, after your first $500, you get a free $500. So that puts you up at 1,000 marks, which can be super effective if you spent like $20, $25 a day. That gives you a nice sort of slow rise in wish list. Reddit has a similar tool. I wouldn't do Twitter anymore. Twitter has gone downhill in terms of advertisement. It's still a great tool to sort of connect with different people in the space. Yeah, not for advertisement. And Instagram, TikTok are great for cute games. Not for very puzzle games or intricate games that are very gory or things like that, but they work very well in visual, cozy anime games. There's definitely a big audience there for that. Again, like, I know it's a little vague, but hopefully it gives you some good ideas of where to spend your money and how much things can cost. So a little bit about Starfall. Starfall was started back in 2023. We mainly work with indie studios to help them sort of with either PR or influencer management and events. We help with managing ad budgets. I always see ourselves as a sort of a small publisher, but we don't take any of a cut. We work with a small retainer. We are the most affordable option in games PR in the US. So if you want to have a chat, feel free to reach out to me. Here's some work that we did for Pixel Cafe. I'm not going to go over all of this, but it's, if you download the deck afterwards, you can see some of the results that we achieved. So thank you so much. I hope you learned something. I had fun doing this. So that's my idea.
Thank you. That was good. So all right, first question I have, because the, what was the one you mentioned? The Press Engine is new to me. So how does that compare to the Games Press website that I get an email from every morning with
so many things? So, Games Press is a great tool, but that's a place where you can find different press releases. So that's, I'd say Games Press is where journalists go to find news. While and you can place things on there, but you don't often get that same reach. Well, Press Engine is like a press release distribution tool. So you would upload a press release there, and then it would send out to all these people as you would get a press release if you're a journalist. It's just an easy way to distribute press releases and keys afterwards as well.
Hell, I thought that's what Games Press did. Okay. all right. So first question from Lee on LinkedIn. Is it possible to do everything yourself?
It is. Everything is possible to do everything yourself, but it's about your time investment. So the great thing about marketing is that you can learn how to do everything yourself, and you can do everything yourself, but is that worth your time, right? If you have, if you spent a lot of devs that we work with, they want to focus on the game. they don't want to reach out to influencers, or they don't want to write press releases. And the thing is, you can probably learn to write a press release and do it yourself, but it's often better to work with a professional that already has this knowledge. It's the value proposition of sort of time versus money, right? Like, is my time worth creating a target list or doing a small part of the marketing? Like, oh, I'd like to reach out to influencers myself. Then sure, you can do that. But, you know, do you want to create a trailer for yourself? Do you think that's, you know, can you make a great trailer that showcases your game in a very good light? So yes, Lee, you can do everything yourself, but whether that's valuable to you, that's something that only you can answer.
All right, and so this is the question we probably should start with, and this is why I love doing these shows, because we rewind it and we answer. So what is a press release?
Okay, that's, yeah, I'll dive into that. So a press release is basically a announcement that you're doing to the press. I should probably cover this, but a press release is most of the times it's like a piece of text where you announce something in. And it includes creating a press kit, because that's always in the bottom where you have, you know, your assets or maybe a trailer. And it includes messaging press outlets. Your press release is often distributed to a lot of different people. So it's a sort of slate email that you mail out to maybe a couple of thousand journalists, and they all get the same bit of information. Well, if you say messaging press outlets, that's probably more related to pitching. So reaching out to journalists directly, where you have maybe a key or something like that. So press release is more, I'd say it closely resembles a mass email where you announce something, but it's a little bit different in a way that it's acceptable for press, right? Like, it's not socially acceptable to send out a mass email if you just say like, hi. But if it's a newsworthy event, then you can call it a press release. Hopefully that makes sense.
Wait, so I shouldn't be doing that?
No, you shouldn't be sending hi to 7,000 people. I wouldn't recommend that.
From Julia on YouTube, quick question about Muckrack. Any idea about what the subscription or membership cost is, more or less?
So
the page only suggests to request a demo. I hate those people.
So Muckrack, there is the side of it where you can look at journalists. And how do I explain it? So there's a site where PR companies like me use Muckrack to find details of journalists. That's like the sort of business side of it. However, the user side of it is that if you Google a journalist's name, they often have a Muckrack where you can see their latest articles. And that's the way that you want to use Muckrack. So you want to use Muckrack as a tool to see what a journalist write about. The contact details, you can pay for that. But it's very expensive. So I wouldn't recommend doing that if you're just a game dev. Like, if you, it's often better to just sort of have a quick look at what sort of articles they write. I can even send you a link of my Muckrack back in the day. If that's interesting, like, I'll put it in the Discord afterwards, so you can have a closer look at Muckrack. But it's basically just a tool that collates coverage from every, like, say 90% of journalists. Not every journalist is on Muckrack, but a very large amount of them is. So I'll show you how to use it after.
And Julia, if you go back and watch the How to Find a Publisher talk that I did last week with Global Game Jam, there's a section of that talk where I will show you exactly how to go find people's email addresses if you just have their name or their company, and it doesn't cost you money. It's truly not that hard. Even I do it. So from Joshua on YouTube, how much lead time would you say is appropriate for a PR or marketing company to implement a good plan?
Okay. Yeah, this is a question we get a lot. So again, depends on the game, right? Depends on the stage of the game. Like, we have people that we've worked with for 8 months that we just do the entire marketing process for. So we do their community management and all those things. We take that out of your hand. However, I'd say the most common time frame that I see is about 1 to 3 months, sort of the end before the game comes out. that gives you or us ample time to announce the game and sort of start that review campaign, start gathering wish lists, and maybe include you in an event or two. But yeah, less than that makes things very difficult to get you enough wish lists and to get you enough coverage and to really have that payoff in a marketing PR campaign.
All right, we got two more for you.
Nice.
Is it possible to apply most of these tips if you've already screwed up your release? In other words, is it possible to fix a bad release?
It is possible, but it's very hard. So if you have done a very, like if you have maybe rushed through your marketing campaign and you've tried doing it yourself, but you only have a couple of sales, and you, like influencers and journalists are interested in new things, so either you would need to make a really significant update to the game to have journalists or press creators make it worth it for them to have a second look, or you need to spend money in order to get either a paid activation with a creator that you really like. But it does become a lot harder if you have a bad release. And it is possible, but it's not easy at all. And there, you have options, but yeah, it's tricky.
All right, last one, and then we got to get ready for our Pitch Deck 101 session. So, Teddy, I'm not going to get to you right now, but Peter's in the Discord, so
yeah.
We can answer questions post-show, discord.gg/indiegamebusiness. How long should a trailer last?
Yeah, so about a minute. About a minute to 2 minutes. Not too short, not too long. I'd say a good trailer, yeah, a good trailer is about a minute. I think like a teaser is 30 seconds. Trailer is about a minute to 2 minutes. So, but again, that depends on the game. Some games have a lot to show for themselves. Sometimes you don't want to show too much. Yeah, so minute to 2 minutes. Hopefully that helps.
All right, we can actually get Teddy's in if we have a really quick, you got to be super quick here on this one. What stage of development would you recommend developers to engage a PR company like Starfall?
That's not a simple, easy question to ask. I'd say definitely for most, if you have a small budget, definitely the later stages of development. If you, like I said, 2 to 3 months before a release date is where we can do the most work. If you're simply only want to work on development, then you can reach us out to us at any point and we can help you with the game announcement as well and with the sort of community building. But yeah, if you already doing that, or if you have a person for that, then I'd say the last 2 to 3 months before you want to release the game. Hopefully that was quick enough.
Awesome.
Nice.
Teddy, thank you so much. And like we said, if you've got any other questions, Teddy's around the Discord with one of our, many of our other experts in the industry there. Stick tight. Give us about 30 seconds to switch things up, and we're going to be back with Pitch Deck 101 for Indies.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, everybody.